Christian Jarrett has a blog called Brainwatch. It's an apt title because Jarrett believes neurotalk needs policing. Christian Jarrett's a cognitive neuroscience scientist turned science writer. As the field of neuroscience becomes one of the popular topics of our time, Jarrett says more focus goes into what makes the best headline instead of into the significance of the research itself. The overhyping of brain science is the subject of Christian Jarrett's forthcoming book, Great Myths of the Brain. Jarrett says in some cases, the media is to blame.
They tend to overinterpret the findings, or they distort the findings, or sometimes they use them to push a particular ideological agenda, to exaggerate gender differences, for example. Also, marketing people love using the brain to sell their ideas or their products. So that you'll see there's new disciplines appearing all the time now, like neuromarketing, neuroleadership, neuroaesthetics. I think some people are finding if you stick neuro in front of something or you include it in your sentence, then it makes you sound more persuasive.
Why is that? Why does using that neuro or brain in a title make it sexier or more credible?
I suppose everything to do with the brain has a certain mystique. It's obviously so complicated, the science is so new. Mentioning the brain, rather than saying something like why are you so addicted to email, rather than writing that, headline writers will say why is your brain addicted to email? Yeah, sounds more scientific and intriguing.
We often see on this side of the Atlantic a catchphrase: brain activity increases when, and then you fill in the blank. How much is as general public and not neuroscientists, should we trust what's written in those articles or the headlines themselves?
Well, there's no question that neuroscientists today they've got a window into the mind and the workings of the brain as far better than anything they could have imagined a generation ago. But the thing is, also these findings, they're incremental. They're not as revolutionary as the newspaper stories would have you believe often. And sometimes the neuroscience is backing up common sense a lot of the time. So, the finding says neuroscience proves humiliation is the most intense human emotion. It doesn't really prove it. The answer to that question of which is the most intense emotion is how they feel, really.
Mm-hmm.
So the neuroscience is backing up psychological insight. It's not the final proof.
I'm talking with Christian Jarrett. He's a cognitive neuroscientist turned science writer. What's an example, Christian, of a story about the brain that was overhyped in the media?
Last year, there was a study that got a lot of attention where they said neuroscientists had proved men's and women's brains were wired up differently.
Yes.
Do you remember that one?
Yes, I do.
And so it got a lot of attention. And the way that was spun in the media was the headline writer said, now this proves why men are rubbish at multitasking.
Yes.
Compared with women, and why women are no good at reading maps.
Mm-hmm.
They did find some brain differences between the way the connectivity in men's and women's brains on average. But this paper didn't even look at behaviors like map reading or multitasking or anything like that. So it's a good example of how the findings are overinterpreted, and they're spun to tell a story the writer wants to tell.
So when you see headlines like that as a trained neuroscientist, what do you think?
Well, in this case, the authors were a little bit naughty because they pushed this slant in their press campaign for the paper. I think a lot of the mainstream neuroscience community gets frustrated when they see brain research being spun in that kind of way, because anyone who goes and looks at the actual paper can see straight away, in this case, that this connectivity study didn't say anything about differences in the skill levels of men versus women, and it's a shame that it was being used to bolster these kind of out-of-date stereotypes about the genders.
So, Christian, if neuroscientists understand that it's all hype, what harm is it if it's just hyped in the popular media? I mean, we're not doing the science, we're not doing the research.
I'm worried it's going to make people skeptical of brain science. I mean, if they keep reading headline after headline that says, this is your brain on email, this is your brain on books, or how Netflix is changing your brains is one I saw. I think maybe we're going to become, people are going to become tired of it, skeptical, and then they won't pay attention to the real, genuinely important neuroscience findings. That's one problem. And like I say, sometimes the hype's being used to push a particular agenda. You know, there are references to things like, you know, the gay brain or the conservative brain and things like that, which is being used to try and accentuate group differences in society, which obviously could cause friction between groups.
So as a consumer, aside from being skeptical, what can I do to sort of protect myself and make sure that I'm looking for the right things when I'm searching out information?
I'd say number one thing you can do is ask yourself, is the brain really relevant to the headline and the article and the claims? There was a notorious example a few years ago where a researcher and writer claimed that he performed this brain scanning study that proved that we love our iPhones. And, you know, that...
But I do love my iPhone.
Exactly. So you know that you love your iPhone. We can see that people love their iPhones from how much they use them, that they hate it if they leave it at home by mistake. So in this case, the reference to the brain is gratuitous. Take away the word brain. Does it make any difference to the meaning, or does it add anything to what we already knew? So that's one test you can perform. Also, you can look out for really grandiose claims. You know, most science is incremental. It's not revolutionary. So, I mean, like, there's this company called No Lie fMRI who sell a brain scanning technique for spotting lies.
Really?
And they claim it's like the first ever 100% scientific way of detecting if someone's telling the truth or not. You know, and if, does that sound too good to be true?
Yes.
If it does, it probably is. So that's another test. There's a huge amount of very, very important, valid neuroscience research going on. The problem is that lots of people are they're jumping on the neuroscience bandwagon and they're trying to use it to explain often quite mundane things, so that they're using it as a way to repackage old ideas. But yeah, underneath all that, there is very important research going on.
Christian Jarrett writes a blog called Brainwatch. You can look for his forthcoming book, Great Myths of the Brain, in October. It's The Record.